Let's greet people next to each other. God loves you. So you've been going through the Bible chronologically, the 66 books of the Bible. And the theme is, since we kicked off going through from the Genesis, this today's sermon is the 20th time of going through the first book of the Bible, which is Genesis. Again, let me briefly summarize. Let me read the scriptures. Today we're going through two chapters, chapter 19 and 20. It's overlapped with last, some part of today's context overlapped with last week's sermon. But chapter 19, the God rescued Lot, who is a nephew of Abraham from Sodom and Gomorrah, before he actually completely destroyed the area, Sodom and Gomorrah. And after Lot was rescued, he and his two daughters managed to get out of that destroyed land. Let me read through from the scripture 35, chapter 19, 35. So they made their father drink. They they means the two daughters of Lot. They made their father Lot drink wine in the night also. And the younger arose and lay with him. And he did not know when she lay down and when she arose. Thus both the daughters of Lot became pregnant by their father Lot. The firstborn bore a son and called his name Moab. And he is the father of Moabites to this day. And the younger one also bore a son called his name Benami. He is the father of the Ammonites to this day. Chapter 20, from the Abraham journeys toward the territory of the Negev. Lived between Kadesh and Shur. And he sojourned at Gerar. And Abraham said of Sarah, his wife, she is my sister. And Abimelech, the king of Gerar, the Palestine area, sent and took Sarah. But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, "Behold, you are a dead man because of the woman whom you have taken, for she is a man's wife." So what I just read is just part of the contents in today's sermon, chapter 19 and 20. So we want to talk about mainly two things: about what happened to Lot's family after they were rescued, and also Abraham's journey, of course again called by God, and lived on the territory of the Negev, and lived between Kadesh and Shur, and he ended up being confronting with one of the kings whose name is Abimelech near the Palestine area. And what Abraham did, it seems like he lied again as he did in Egypt. He called Sarah his wife as his sister. So we're going to talk about those two things mainly. So again, now we are in chapter 19 and 20, but the history of the creation, the first 10 chapters of the book of Genesis, it talks about the original history of mankind, starting at the main four themes: creation, and second theme, the fall of man, and third theme, the flood, judgment, and the fourth one, it's origin of nations, origin of tribes, through the Tower of Babel incident. Since then, the subsequent chronological history, that's what we've been going through. Since Noah first communicated with God and accompanied and guided, Abraham, and the model of faith that followed, it's been following God's will. That's what the story started from chapter 20, since God called Abraham. Now Abraham's been living in the promised land, and a few stories happened. Through the story of Abraham, God revealed himself about who God is and how he works and what kind of faith he seeks. Also showing what is Christian's life by faith. Such things we can actually learn from how Abraham's life, also how he communicated, God communicated with him. So last week we looked at the story of Genesis chapter 18 and 19. Unlike Abraham, whose faith was restored by chapter 17, where it specifically mentioned the covenant of circumcision in order to remember and memorize, not to forget, he is chosen. God asked Abraham and his old servants, not necessarily through his bloodline or his actual the biological family, anyone is willing to be part of Abraham's the journey along, the faithful journey along with God's calling. God asked everyone to get circumcised so they don't forget they are chosen for God's redemption plan. But unlike Abraham, whose faith was restored by such circumcision covenant, in the case of Sarah, who had already reached the menopause, like Sarah herself called herself, she's worn out, it's too old to have a baby. Too old to be pregnant. She had no expectation of her role in God's will. But then, no matter how much the Almighty God cannot show the remarkable ability to have a child with post-menopausal woman. The story is shown in the chapter 18 and 19. He actually revealed himself as a form of humans and visitors to where Abraham and Sarah lived. And that story really showed that he came down as a form of humans in order to comfort Sarah. It shows he is God's love and enthusiasm to tell the people he chose, not to forget what kind of covenant he made with them, Abraham and Sarah. So God was so desperate as for Sarah, he wasn't even looking forward to having the covenant. And God turned Sarah to walk the path of faith again. Now if he asked a 50 years old to say one more child to bear, giving birth to a child as much as he or she is willing to give up little life. Even though there are many longevity nowadays, the age women get pregnant is mostly young and less than 40 in order to have children. But if God tells Sarah in this particular incident to give birth to a 90 years old grandmother, she wouldn't be able to have a child unless she obeys her own life, faithfully believing what God promised. So in order to, and then have a sleep together with her husband. Without her obedience, also following with the action, he wouldn't be able to realize God's plan through their lives. So that was the point. The way God works is not by controlling people as a robot. He doesn't deal with humans like that. So God was so desperate, came down as a form of human in order to comfort them, encourage them. Hang on, here I am. Don't forget the covenant I made for you. It was to build a witness to know and to proclaim the living God. You look at chapter 18, verse 19. That's why he kept saying, that's why I chose you, Abraham and Sarah. So they knew that the living by faith was the reason that God chose you, Sarah, and your husband. The birth of a child by faith. This particular case of Sarah, by having that reassurance, Sarah could restore her faith in him. Similarly, nowadays the birth of a child in a spiritual family in ourselves is not really easy. But as we do, we obey. At the same time, we have a given mission to carry throughout our lives. So it cannot be done by our ability, but we believe that God will, the Holy Spirit will walk through our obedience and through the Christian faithful lifestyle. So bearing a spiritual family, a baby, it cannot be accomplished without sacrifice, labor, and our obedience. And so as a Christians and as a cell members in our church, we need to take Sarah's faith. Even though it seems it's impossible to accomplish, but we believe in Him and His almighty ability, but we also believe the presence of the Holy Spirit in us also as we speak out and deliver the gospel and share the truth with people, and the Holy Spirit will walk through the space and time as we share the truth. Also, He lives in us. So I hope that there will be a life of great obedience like that, what Sarah and Abraham ended up having in this particular story, in our life and in our church, in yourself. Can we move on to the next story, the watching the fall of Sodom and Gomorrah? See, look at, we're talking about chapter 19. So after that, God visited the Sarah and Abraham to comfort them, they moved down to Sodom and Gomorrah, where Abraham's nephew and Lot and his family lived. Because it particularly mentioned the cry out, it reached to the heavens, so God couldn't ignore that. So He came to have a look, and then Abraham wanted to negotiate with God or His messengers. How many righteous men we need to find in order not to destroy, in order not to pass down your determined judgment in Sodom and Gomorrah. And it started from the 50 righteous men, but it came down to only 10 men. If Abraham could find, God wouldn't judge the area. But that really means it can extrapolate that if God could find a person, a righteous man, God wouldn't have destroyed the Sodom and Gomorrah. So that really, this story again shows God's character, that includes His righteousness, also His love, His desperation to save a person. Also how valuable a single or spiritual life, and how important it is. But sadly, it seems the Lord was clearly aware of God and how He worked through His uncle's life. But he, even though he called himself as a Christian, he tried to distinguish in the area where it was so evil. He couldn't live as Abraham, living a Christian faithful life in order to carry God's calling and God's mission. When the Lord chose that area, it looked really fertile and very well developed. It's a good area to live in. But when he and his family realized they were so evil, also there's no ethics that are working in place, it was too late for them to regret. But the Lord, as a Christian who knows God, also has a calling and mission to make Him known, He was sent to Sodom and Gomorrah as a Christian, as a God's messenger, to deliver the gospel in that area. But unlike Abraham and Sarah, unlike their lifestyle, Lot and his family couldn't carry God's mission in Sodom and Gomorrah. Indeed, they actually suffered. Their spirits, their souls suffered by the evil culture prevailed in that area. Now when God rescued Lot and his family in chapter 19, it really shows why God is able to judge Sodom and Gomorrah. The story of Lot, even though Lot was and his family saved before the judgment and the complete destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, that part of the story really makes people, including us, reading this event, and also we get felt frustrated. Again, Lot was clearly a Christian who knew God through his uncle Abraham, but the action wasn't followed. Obedience, the carrying the mission, and God's responding to God's calling, that it was lacked. So he actually physically saw the angels sent to Sodom and Gomorrah, and Lot indeed treated them as their guests. What Abraham did. The wicked Sodomites came to Lot's house and they raped their guests. They also tried to sexually assault. if Lot allowed them to do so. But Lot, the way Lot responded was pretty impressive. He asked the Sodomites, instead of taking my guests from my house, please take my two daughters who don't know men. It's clean, but don't take my guests. It really showed the level of how evil their lifestyle was. At that time, the father's authority was enough to have the child's life and death, because it wasn't common in the family relationship. The Lord's actions were indeed ridiculous. But indeed, Lot, he failed his role as a God's messenger to deliver the gospel in that area. Some disappointing action we could observe from the story written in Scripture 12 to 20 in chapter 19. When God's angels urged Lot to escape quickly, Lot even did complain about, oh, the mountain is too far to reach. Please delay a little bit further before I move on. So he didn't really acknowledge the urgency at that time. Lot tried to escape, save as many his family members as possible. But at the end, he could only rescue his immediate family, including his wife and two daughters. But sadly speaking, his wife turned back to see where they lived. As promised and warned by God's angels, Lot's wife couldn't escape. They died with Sodomites there. When you look at the story after Lot and his two daughters escaped, as you read the scriptures in the beginning, it's quite sad to see that even though Lot claimed his two daughters are clean, they knew that how to make wine. They had the thing, their thinking process to make their father be drunk. Also, they could actually sleep, also pass down his seeds to them so they could bear a child. Such kind of immoral thoughts, they attempted, indeed it worked. It really showed how deeply they are merged in that evil culture, even though they claimed themselves as a Christian. So it seems that Lot and his family were Christian but quite ambiguous believers, didn't really came out as a Christians to introduce who God is and try to make him known in where they lived. It is as if we are attending church today, but our life in church and in the world is different. It is like a double-sided behavior, a double-sided lifestyle, different lifestyles in church, in the world. It's a typical characteristic of people who do not know the reason of God's calling and just do religious life. Although Lot knew God and he believed in him, his interest was to eat well and live well in this world, in Sodom and Gomorrah. So his focus and his life will always belong to in the world, not as a messenger sent from God. He has lived as a person, an ordinary person who wanted to live well, be wealthy, and accomplish to accomplish the secular values he pursued. Because Sodom and Gomorrah were the fallen places, Lot, who knew God, might have seen there was an evangelist or a witness who led them to God's way in the way of God. Second Peter explained Lot as a righteous man. chapter 2, verse 6 to 7, and he appointed Sodom and Gomorrah to perish, and made them an example unto the ungodly in the latter day. In latter days, he got delivered righteous Lot, who was afflicted by the transgression of the lawless ones, for the righteous dwelt among them, and every day he saw this unlawful deed. So it really showed. Lot and his family knew their identities, but their spirit, their soul, totally suffered from this ungodly culture and the transgression of the lawless people. So we can learn from this story, even though this is exactly the same situation, we are not so far different from Lot's circumstance. And his family's situation. He's fully emerged, surrounded by the enemies and the secular values and the lowliest ones. The, clearly, the definition of the righteous are those who know God and those who believe in God's promise, which our Lord did, indeed. Lord certainly knew God and believed and knew the purpose of him, and what he promised, and what was the purpose of his life. The same as us, we know that we are now Christians, but we are all at the same time, when you go out of the church, we live in this secular world, we always confront against the secular values, and our soul, our spirit always get suffered from this lowliness. We may conduct the transgression of same as the worldly people. That from this story, we need to remind ourselves what God wants, also what he's looking at. Lot was indeed saved from the fall of Sodom and Gomorrah, even though his life seemed not to be a life in which God could forgive. But indeed God did. And he delayed the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah because of Lot, the one person and his family. So in his salvation, God thought Abraham sent him out while he was overthrowing Sodom and Gomorrah. So it was as if his salvation was a life that seemed to consist of Abraham's intercession. But both were Christian. The we are so-called Christians. So we need to decide, using our will, whether we go either way, whether Abraham's way or Lot's way. Even though we call ourselves, we know who God is, we need to be followed by our action and obedience. And I keep maintaining the faithful relationship with God, like what Abraham did. If we dwell in him or in the church, belong to the community of the church, and then we don't really focus much on Christians' identity, also the mission we have. That's the moment when God may suffer and mourn. From this story, we can see that God is constantly seeking the one who can respond to his calling, to the reaction through our obedience. It doesn't matter where we live. Indeed, where Abraham chose to live, it will feel like a desert. But in contrast, where Lot chose, it looked very fertile and very well developed. And in the middle of the way, the people trade. So it was obviously a very wealthy area. But it was indeed, at the end, completely destroyed. And even before that, Lot's life, his soul and spirit really suffered because of the lowliest lifestyle, and the transgression prevailed throughout the area. So it doesn't matter where we live. The important one is how we live, where our focus is tuned, where our interest is fine-tuned. So I would like to encourage you, everyone here. We believe we are Christians. I encourage all of us, our faith, get restored. Sarah was frustrated, and it seems that she forgot about the clear promise God made through her life. Even she, he changed Sarah's name from Sarai to Sarah, the mother of the multitude of nations and descendants. Even though God provided the circumcision covenant, it seems the both pair, the Abraham and Sarah, in some moment they forgot, and they almost gave up to carry out, to keep remembering God's mission. I encourage everyone here not to forget the first moment we received the purpose of our life. Let us remember at the moment we are saved. Also, we maintain that, also improve, also completely respond to God's calling. So I would like to introduce a couple of strategies how to accomplish that. So we need to, we have to acknowledge that the situation we are faced with is full of transgression and lawless lifestyle. So we need to actively find the God, godly places that we completely seek the worship and the services. We live with the Word of God. That's the only way we can protect ourselves, also get closer to God and His Word. Okay, let's move on to chapter 20. So when you look at the map loaded up on the screen at the moment, God called Abraham and lived to Hebron. Indeed, where that's 1,000 years later, the David, King David, before the David, while David was young, he lived. And that's David's hometown. That's where Abraham actually was led by God to draw in. And when you look at the chapter 20, God was called to leave, to move from Hebron to Palestine, an area. So Abraham journeyed towards the territory of Negev, which is the Palestine area, and where Abraham met the king of that area, whose name is Abimelech. So if everyone remember the story, when Abraham, in early stage, right after Abraham moved to the promised land, he had to visit, had a long journey to Egypt, you know, that, because there was a famine in the land of promised land, Canaan. So he moved down with his family to his tribe in order to get some food. The point was that he is a representative, he's a leader of his tribe. He wanted to support or to save his tribe. So during the journey, he lied to Egyptian king Pharaoh, Sarah, it's not his wife, his sister. But same thing happened in chapter 20. The different thing is when Abraham and his family visited a trip to Egypt, Sarah was still young, and it specifically mentioned the Pharaoh. When Pharaoh saw Sarah, he was so beautiful, so Pharaoh wanted to get Sarah as his wife. But in contrast, when you look at chapter 20, the story in here, because Sarah was too old, even it was too old to have a baby. So it wasn't because of his, Sarah's beauty that Abimelech, the Palestine king, wanted to take Sarah as his wife. But we need to understand the context, why it happens. In the ancient time, getting the marriage is sort of a political strategy to have the ally, not to make them as enemy, their enemy. So when Abraham's tribe, you know, Abraham, there was an incident, Abraham went to the Palestine in order to save his Lord. And he and his 70 soldiers from his tribe actually went there, completely destroyed the ally, made of separate are multiple nations and tribes. So obviously at that time, the Abraham and his tribe was known as a strong group or community. Even though Abraham was very bravely went there in the first incident, Abraham knew that it's not because of his ability or his soldier's ability, but God protected his family and his tribes. That's why Abraham was clearly afraid of the enemies surrounded by him. But when you look at the context, when you from the other tribes' perspective, like Palestine and the king Abimelech, when he heard that Abraham moved to his territory, it's like they had a group of soldiers, very fine, specially trained soldiers. And nowadays, like in Australia, one of our enemies are living in Australia, and they camped in the heart of the city, for example, in the middle of Melbourne or Sydney. Of course, we, our politicians and then all of our citizens will get afraid of them and get affected. And the way in ancient time tried to resolve that conflict was make a political marriage. So it was quite common and at that time. So one of natural consequences was Abimelech, even though Sarah was so old, he attempted to have the political marriage with Abraham's one of Abraham's family members. When you look at more details, Abraham went there. It's not about trying to escape from the crisis, so he ended up lying. It wasn't like that. But Abraham actually obeyed to God. Also, Sarah followed his husband, Abraham. Both of them, they were afraid of the enemies surrounded by him, by them. But he was a part of their life journeys, following God's calling. So he was quite often mistakenly sermoned in different churches. By looking at this story, that the way that the message is delivered is Abraham made a very critical mistake again. So he tried to escape the situation, a difficult situation, by his own thought. So he lied and tried to sell his wife, his very old wife, to his enemy. It wasn't like that. It was part of the obedience of Sarah accepted. The two points indeed. Sarah was Abraham's stepsister. Also, same as what initially happened 20 years ago, when they went to Egypt, when Abraham and his family, his tribe went to Palestine area, they knew that was sort of the default reaction they would get from their kings and the people in Palestine area. So therefore, it wasn't Sarah's the mindset, my husband, this stupid guy sold me again to our enemy. So I was sold for him to escape from the difficult situation. It wasn't like that. It was part of following God's calling, and they obeyed. So they were so afraid of going into the middle of their enemy's land. And then they could do what they could do. That was the only option they could say. And right after Abraham said, Sarah is my sister, when Abraham, Abimelech, the Palestine king, they tried to take Sarah, and God revealed himself to Abimelech in his dream by night and said to Abimelech, "Behold, you are a dead man because of the woman whom you have taken, for she is a man, Abraham's wife." So God actively revealed himself to Abimelech. So basically said, hang on, if you continue your action or your attempt, you'd get killed. A typical mistake, misunderstanding we may get is like, Abraham made a critical mistake, because God chose them, Abraham and Sarah, is a very unbalanced manner God God is protecting Abiathar against Abimelech. And even though Abimelech didn't do something wrong in the human sense, but it is not the right interpretation. If you interpret it that way, God is very unbalanced in terms of the righteousness and the judgment. Now firstly, again, Abraham and Sarah followed God's calling, and then they determined themselves they may die. Because it's obviously the very brave choice of moving into the middle of the enemy's land. But probably because in 20 years ago they were situated in similar circumstances, going to Egypt, they might have expected that God would save them again. They learned from the experience. So obviously they were so afraid. So again, it was part of journey. Oh, if God calls us to go, we will go, no matter how difficult, how dangerous situation we will face with. So in particular, the way that God responded to Abimelech about Sarah, saying, "He's not my wife, but my sister." If Abraham and his tribe decided to fight against their enemies right in the middle of their enemy's land, the consequence would be of losing all his servants to their enemies, because they are completely outnumbered because they are right in the middle of the enemy's land. So Abraham didn't want to take the action in that way, try to physically confront, but he tried to negotiate in order to achieve the best result. It's same as Moses, when Moses was a baby and Moses' mom had to give up her son Moses and ended up floating her son on the river. By looking at the story, it seems that Moses' wife, Moses' mother abandoned Moses. But that was the only option she could do. Similarly, in this particular situation in chapter 20, Abraham didn't have any option. That was one of the few, maybe one of the few reactions Abraham could make, not to get killed by Abimelech and their enemies. And secondly, that Abimelech wasn't a righteous man at all. He had a very evil intention. When God revealed himself to Abimelech, he tried to defend himself. I was not aware that Sarah was indeed Abraham's wife. Even Abraham told me Sarah is his sister. So he tried to prove himself he's innocent. But when you read through the subsequent scriptures in the chapter 20, it really shows that what kind of intention Abimelech had. He tried to trap them in order to grab their power, their wealth, and their belongings and everything by having Sarah as one of the means to control Abraham and his tribe. Yeah, keep in mind that Abraham and his tribe was about 300 to 500 families in their tribe. But in contrast, the Palestine, this big area, when you look at the map, it's a much bigger tribe or country. But even though the Abraham's tribe, Jewish tribe, is small, but they were relatively very wealthy and strong, and very small but top level tribe. So Abimelech saw them, they came into within his territory. So Abimelech obviously tried to grab them to make them as a servants or slaves. That was the very natural consequence, natural behavior back in an old age. Then in Abimelech's perspective, the leader of a very strong tribe came into my land. Of course, I will grab them and try to use them for me, for my kingdom. In that context, the Abimelech, even though Sarah was so old, didn't have any beauty, couldn't attract Abimelech himself. He tried to take Sarah as his wife, so he could actually control Abraham and Jewish tribe. So another aspect is that as a God's messenger, if Abraham tried to introduce who God is, who we are as Christians, Abimelech wouldn't have cared about it. He would just kill them to snitch, to take whatever Abraham and his tribe had. Abimelech wasn't aware of God and didn't really care of what God's messengers and servants such as Abraham's tribe, did. In a very secular perspective, if we try to understand this situation, if God is such an unbalanced God, always protecting Abraham, no matter what kind of transgression or evilness they had, God would have completely destroyed the Palestine people in order to secure, save Abraham and Sarah. But it wasn't like that at all. But God didn't kill Palestine people, but indeed God made Abimelech realize who Abraham is. It seems that when Abraham, God revealed himself to Abimelech, God threatened him. But indeed, there was no intention to kill Abimelech, but it was to let Abimelech know who Abraham is. So God indeed introduced Abraham to Abimelech as a prophet, who's a follower of God. So by the way, how God introduced Abraham, indeed Abimelech acknowledged who Abraham is. So from this story, what you can learn is Abraham, it's not necessarily true that if we obey, we know what's going to happen in near future immediately. Even though Abraham and Sarah obeyed, they were so afraid, they didn't know what's going to happen. They had no idea what's going to happen once they entered into the enemy's territory. But when they obeyed, God revealed himself and he put Abraham into the better situation. Again, the Abimelech's behavior was also quite natural. As Abraham and his tribe was quite famous, because the previous story, Abraham defeated the ally from Mesopotamian tribes and countries, even though they had a very small number of groups, soldier groups, they could defeat them, much bigger enemies. Obviously, that kind of their victories, the news from the Abraham and his tribe was, it became quite famous all around the area. So Abimelech was clearly aware of what Abraham did and who they are. It's interesting that it was even before God allowed Sarah to bear their son Isaac. But when God guided them, God led Abraham and Sarah to in the middle of their enemy's land and territory. Now when you read the stories in chapter 20, it really shows that why Abraham and Sarah went there, what was a motivation. It was through their, through their obedience. And it was one of the occasions God's plan couldn't be really understood within our ability. But God turned the difficult situation to save them again. When you look at the verse 14 onwards, Then Abimelech took sheep and oxen and the male servants and female servants and gave them to Abraham and returned Sarah, his wife, to him. And Abraham said, "Behold, my land is before you. Dwell where it pleases you." And to Sarah he said, "Behold, I have given your brother 1,000 pieces of silver. It is a sign of your innocence in the eyes of all who are with you. And before everyone you are vindicated." So Abimelech's intention was try to make that Sarah be ashamed, to try to capture them to fulfill his greed. But God intervened and in order to protect his chosen people. And Abraham worshipped and prayed to God, and God healed Abimelech. Also healed his wife and female slaves, so that they born children. So it's the chapter 8, the last verse in the chapter 20. It says, "For the Lord has closed all the wombs of the house of Abimelech because of Sarah, and Abraham's wife." And it leads to the story of the birth of Isaac. From this story again in chapter 20, we can learn that clearly Abraham knew when he needs to fight and when not, when he needs not to fight. Because he went to, on one occasion, he went to the, right in the middle of his enemy in order to save his nephew Lot. He had a very brave choice. But in other occasions, he didn't have any intention to bring his army in order to have a war. But he tried to negotiate. Also, he didn't have any idea how to escape from the situation. But only what he could do is saying his wife is his sister. But it's one of the occasions showing the model of faith. Even though he was so afraid, he could just follow. But he did follow God's calling. And 100% rely on God's protection, and they were tested, and they were in the process of getting more mature, and they have experienced God's protection and His guidance in their throughout their life. From this kind of story, including when Abraham visited Egypt, also Palestine area. Abraham did what he could do in the situation he faced with, but he fully relied on God. It's applicable to our lives as well. Sometimes we know what God wants us to do, but we are so afraid to do so. And we rely on the human, our own thoughts, and then we doubt about His righteousness. Also, we put a question mark, even though we know what's the right way to go, what's the evil way to go. Unlike Abraham, he went right in the middle of his enemy's territory. It's like, as shown in the map, in the screen, the boxing player went to the stage. But the enemy had guns and knife. It wasn't even really fair situation to fight against. But Abraham and his family obeyed to God. And they were led by God. And even though it wasn't understandable at all, according to their own human thoughts, but they obeyed. They actually went to the land where God asked them to go, without any guns and knives and swords. They went into the ring in where the enemies have knives and guns to fight. So we are in the same situation. We go out into the world where we belong to. We try to find a fight with our faith and our righteousness, but the worldly people may have guns and swords. It may seem that it's not fair competition at all. But what we need to do is indeed fully trusting in God, and we do what is righteous in God's eye, and also in our own eye, not our own thoughts, but what we learned from God, and what our inner being knows, which is right. That's the lifestyle as a Christian. That's the way we can make what we know be aligned with our action. If we follow what is right according to God's eyes, according to what we know, what we learned from God, we may get ashamed, we may put into the situation, it's hard to escape. But we can learn from this story that God is looking at us. God is in us. As long as we open our hearts to accept Him as our Savior. That's the way how we live along with the Word of God. That's the way how we carry His mission. If we follow the secular principles as we live and try to negotiate and compensate the biblical truth, and the world's people may not see God throughout our life. Remember, our identity as a Christian is all about knowing God, also make Him known. The way to accomplish that, the mission, is always live with God. Also throughout our lifestyle, we do the right thing, the righteous thing according to God's eyes. Let us reflect on today's word again. Are we a Christian like Abraham, or are we a Christian like Lot? Are you a Sunday Christian? And everyone know you are Christian, but lack of action and Christian lifestyle? Or are you a Christian who try to fight against, the evil and lowliness of the principles, but it's not easy to fight against and really struggle? But are you a Christian like Abraham, even though who were afraid of his enemies, but fully rely on God? Indeed took his action according to the God's characters. It's up to us to choose which way to go. We may struggle if we live, we represent God's characters and righteousness, His love, His patience, His kindness, His grace. We need to represent who He is. But along the process, we may suffer. We may put ourselves into situations. It's just really difficult. But in the end, we need to look at what God seeks, what God wants us to do. Let us determine ourselves to live according to His will. Let us pray to live not like Lot, but to live like Abraham. Let's ask God to allow us to have such faith. Let's repent if there is something we need to confess before God. Let's cry out to God, we need your help. We are weak. Let's ask God again to allow us to have a faith like Abraham had.